On a winter's morning in Santa Monica, California, two men order omelets at their local breakfast spot. Mark and Lucas have been a committed couple for more than a decade. Now they're trying to have a child with the help of two women, a surrogate mother and an egg donor. Gazing wistfully about them at tables of boisterous children, the men talk like an infertile heterosexual couple, impatient to end their long and uncertain march to parenthood.
Mentally, I've been a father for as long as I can remember, and now it's there already. Where's mine, and when do we get started?
Yeah, you have the anticipation, and you know, I try to contain it. I don't want to get too excited.
Lucas is 36, Mark 40. Both have good jobs as medical equipment salesmen. They came out as homosexuals before meeting each other, and both assumed that being openly gay meant giving up on having kids.
It was family members, our sisters, our parents, our neighbors who were saying, you guys would make great parents. And we'd say, oh, thank you. And, you know, oh, yeah, we thought about it. And then we start to really think about it.
It's funny that they saw us in that role before, well, especially myself. I guess being gay and stuff, I just didn't see it in the picture.
Once Lucas did see kids in his life picture, he approached his sister, Sandra, about getting inseminated with Mark's sperm and delivering their baby. Sandra declined.
I would like to do that for my brother. I just think that would be very difficult to carry a child and to give it up after carrying it.
But another woman said she could. Lucas and Mark's neighbor across the street, Renee, volunteered to carry the baby if the men could find a woman to donate the eggs. Renee is 34 years old, married with two children, and a close friend.
She's just a very altruistic person. She's very special and very loving and kind. And she saw that we were serious about this and how much it would mean to us. And she wants to help us.
With Renee on board, the couple had a choice. Use eggs from an anonymous donor or ask a relative to donate. Lucas went back to his sister. This time, Sandra agreed. She liked the idea of helping her brother create a biological link to his child.
Using my egg would really be genetically a closer fit, or it would be part of him as far as a child.
Sandra's eggs were surgically harvested and mixed with Mark's sperm in a laboratory dish. In April of this year, the doctor transferred five embryos to Renee's uterus. Two weeks later, Lucas and Mark waited nervously in their home office for Renee to call. She took a pregnancy test that day. The odds were discouraging. With in vitro fertilization and frozen embryos, there was only a 15 to 20% chance she was pregnant.
Hello? Yeah? A fax?
I was pulling it off the machine.
It looks like a giant American Red Cross symbol.
That means positive by any chance?
Is that a plus sign? It's not negative, it's positive.
Yay!
The men looked at each other with expressions of relief, joy, and astonishment. This day was a triumph. But there's more struggle ahead. If and when their baby comes, Mark and Lucas face the usual parental challenges. One will be a stay-at-home dad. A guest room will get converted into a nursery. They still haven't made that most difficult decision, do they go with cloth or disposable diapers? But then there are the questions unique to their kind of family. The child will know its egg came from Aunt Sandy, so who's mommy?
The answer is this child doesn't have a mommy per se. He or she will have two dads. We really do believe that a lot of love and nurturing and care and attention in a secure environment is going to carry this child through it. So when he or she asks, who's my mommy? Well, we don't have a mommy. We have some very special women in our lives, but you have two daddies.
On their own, gay parenting and surrogate motherhood are both controversial. Together, they raise a difficult new question. Should technologies developed to treat infertile heterosexuals be used to make families for homosexuals? For decades now, lesbians have been bearing children via the relatively low-tech method of artificial insemination using donor sperm. But for gay men to create a genetically related family, the process is far more medically complicated. Infertility specialist Dr. Robert Stillman argues that advanced reproductive medicine should be reserved for people who are medically infertile, especially when resources, such as surrogate mothers, are in short supply. Stillman practices in suburban Washington, D.C., and is not opposed to gay families, but he won't treat homosexuals, saying he wants to avoid becoming a social engineer.
Because they are not infertile from the medical definition. Our role as medical practitioners to remain legitimate is to practice medicine, and that's what we ought to stick to. That's what we're good at. That's what we ought to stick to.
Many who oppose gay families also argue that children fare best, both socially and psychologically, in traditional heterosexual families with a mom and dad. But some studies suggest that growing up in a conventional family is less important than growing up in a loving one. There appears to be just one agency in the country devoted to arranging surrogacy for gays and lesbians, a place called Growing Generations in Los Angeles. One of the owners, attorney Will Holm, knows firsthand about starting a family with another gay man. Before Holm got involved with Growing Generations, he and his companion, physician Marceline Samard, spent almost a decade trying to have a child through surrogacy. They eventually got daughter Melina, an inquisitive pixie who loves to cast her toys about the room.
Melina, come on. You going to help clean?
Come ahead, Papa. Come ahead, Daddy.
Like any self-respecting toddler, Melina refuses to believe picking up toys is a good idea. This to the manifest frustration of Daddy, as she calls Will, and Papa, her name for Marceline.
Come ahead, Papa.
Even though the men live in California, a state known for its tolerance of uncommon living arrangements, their situation still challenges the definitions of family.
After our daughter was born, the first question everybody asked was, who is the father? And I think that's a really insensitive question, given the fact that we're both helped create the child, we both consider ourselves father. And they didn't say who the biological father, who the sperm donor was, they said, who is the father?
Only close friends or family know which of them was the sperm donor for Melina. Holm and Samard are fathering a second child, due in September, and the other man will be the genetic father of that child. So their genealogy will look more like a web than a family tree. Holm says Melina will learn all the details, but slowly, as she grows old enough to follow the complicated strands of information.
We're going to have a book. We'll say, Miss X donated eggs, and they were fertilized by Daddy, and then they were transferred into Miss Y, and, you know, names and pictures and letters will be in there. And as she grows up, she's going to understand in her own way and in her own time what all that means.
It's certain that some people outside the family may never understand or approve of gay men having children. So far, Holm says, most folks they meet are polite but curious. He hopes that one day a little girl with two fathers will hardly provoke comment.
As, you know, interracial couples were discouraged from having children 20 years ago, we're hoping that in 20 years from now that it will be no big deal that two men or two women are raising a family.
Gay families created through surrogate motherhood are a new phenomenon. No one knows how many there are in the U.S. The Los Angeles program is arranging surrogacy contracts for only a handful of gay male couples. And after nearly 2 years in business, it celebrated the birth of its first baby just this spring. The average cost to the couple, more than $40,000. I'm Stephen Smith, Minnesota Public Radio.